My guest, Regina Taylor, is an actor, a director, and a playwright whose career spans television, theater, and film. She has won major awards in all three of those genres. In November, she appeared with the CSO, narrating three poems of Maya Angelou for the One City, One Symphony series. Ms. Taylor, it is an honor to have you with us.
Oh, really great to be with you.
Our listeners may know you best for your portrayal of Lily Harper, the African-American housekeeper in the remarkable NBC series, I'll Fly Away. For listeners who weren't fortunate enough to watch it, please tell us about Lily.
Lily Harper is a character of the piece, I'll Fly Away, that was set in the 50s, United States South. And it deals with this family, two families, a white family and a black family. She works for the Bedford family as their housekeeper. What was interesting to me about this piece was to approach this housekeeper in a non-traditional way, that you saw her beyond her hands, that you saw her as a mother, as a daughter, as a person involved in her community, as a lover, as someone who, during this time in United States history, is becoming aware, self-aware of what's going on with racial issues and is becoming an activist in that. I thought it was really a great opportunity in 2.5 years, I think, that the show was aired on prime time that you saw inside this woman's soul.
Yes, it was from 1991 to 1993. Did you ever have the opportunity to work with the writers to develop some of the aspects of Lily's character?
What I loved very much personally was the beginnings of the pieces of the episodes. You had Lily speaking from her diary, again, getting inside her mind, and also closing with her diary. And with those, I actually wrote a couple of those, but certainly the producers were very open to what I might be dreaming or some thoughts about the character.
Well, it was a very, very honored series, and you yourself won a Golden Globe Award for Best Actress in a TV Dramatic Series. And that same year, I think you won an NAACP Image Award.
It was a wonderful time. It was one of my favorite experiences working on TV, working with such amazing producers, Falsey and Brand, and the incredible staff of writers, working with Mr. Waterston, Sam Waterston, who played the lead in playing Mr. Bedford, and the crew, everyone. It was very tight, felt like family, and it was excellent TV.
You've also written over a dozen works that are continually staged, and none more so than Crowns, which is a musical that does more than provide a visual feast of glorious hats. What was your inspiration for that?
I was approached by Emily Mann at the MacArthur Theater, and she had, among many things, had produced Having Our Say, wrote and directed that piece for Broadway. She called me up, said there's this book that's about to come out called Crowns. It's a pictorial about African women and their Sunday hats. You see these pictures of these women from South Carolina, and they talk about their hats. She sent me a copy and asked me if I wanted to create something for stage with it. And I'm looking at these pictures and I'm going, I know each and every one of these women. I've never met them before, but I know them. These hat queens. And hat queens means you own at least 100 hats. From where I grew up in Dallas, Texas, I was very familiar with them, even though I can't claim myself as being a hat queen, or at that point, I couldn't. I owned one hat or two hats, a skull cap and something else to keep my head warm. But it was really a wonderful challenge to take a look at the tradition, see that many of these traditions came over from Africa, survived slavery, the tradition of adorning oneself for worship, and even in the music, the movement of the African-American church, its ties, threads back to African traditions. To be able to stage that and have it be about what we pass down. So many memories cupped under the brim of weddings, funerals, markers in a life that lay claim to the individuality of the human spirit. What do we pass down was what I was gaining from the piece.
Well, in that vein, I'd like to talk to you about Maya Angelou. Did you ever have the opportunity to meet her?
Yes, I did. I met her a couple of times, and I was always so in awe of her. One of those books that changed my life was I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. When I read that, I felt that she was speaking to me and moved me, changed my life in many ways. So I was in awe meeting her and just felt so privileged in speaking with her.
Well, at the CSO concert in November, you read three of her poems, Elegy, Forgive, and Equality. The poems are vastly different, and yet they're all of a piece. Is there one poem that particularly resonates for you?
I love all of these pieces. I'd like to read Elegy. Elegy, I lie down in my grave and watch my children grow. Proud blooms above the weeds of death. Their petals wave, and still nobody knows the soft black dirt that is my winding sheet. The worms, my friends, yet tunnel holes in bones, and through those apertures I see the rain. The sun-felt warmth now jabs within my space and brings me roots of my children born. Their seeds must fall and press beneath this earth and find me where I wait. My only need to fertilize their birth, to lie down in my grave and watch my children grow.
Thank you. That's an extraordinary poem. That's actually my favorite of the three, especially that final line.
Yes.
Why did you choose that one?
It has a resonance of continuation, one generation passed down to the next, waiting with a certain type of expectation of what will come.
And I think it's also about creating another generation to take over or to just watch the things that you create take form and take shape.
Yes, and there is a thinking about the roots of where things come from. You see this progression in terms of moving forward, in terms of time, but everything's connected still.
It's been over half a century since the March on Washington and Dr. King's now iconic legendary speech. And yet we are facing racial and economic divisions that seem even more intense than in the 50s and well before that. I'd like to end by asking you how your work as an artist helps you to work toward the fulfillment of Dr. King's dream.
My work has always been about finding myself in space and time, being who I am, understanding who I am, what time it is, and where I am. That shifts according to other people's gaze. However, there is something that was instilled in me in terms of how I see myself and how I want to move through this world. And key to that is creativity, to be able to imagine from scratch, to imagine tomorrow and how you get there and what it looks like, what it feels like, to arrive at it, to have that in your hands and know that you have to move on. What's the next destination? Still being what you are, who you are in this world that can transcend. I try and transcend through the work beyond sex, beyond skin, bones, place.
Well, thank you so much, actor, director, and writer Regina Taylor. You can find out more about her work by going to wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ann Arenstein.
Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place. If you can, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place. If you can.